Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Ayin Beis. We're holding five lines from the top of the Amud. And the beginning of today's Gemara is going to focus on the inyan of Pisuk. Pisuk means that the Mocher and the Lokeach both agree to a particular price. Why are we talking about that? Because that was the focus of the Mishnah back on Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, which we learned yesterday. You recall the second Mishnah said, "Amocha yena le'ovikachovim posak adchle modad dom of mutarin, modad adchle posak dom of asurin." And the Gemara said that what's so important about pisuk? Pisuk means that they agree in principle to the price on the commodity. What's so important about that? So both Rashi and the Mishnah and the Gemara later on said because of gemira's das, shows that the two parties have a meeting of the minds, and that they only have to work out the details. They've agreed that it's going to be $10 per gallon of wine. Are we going to buy 3 gallons or 5 gallons or 10 gallons? But since there's at least been a fundamental agreement on the price, from that point on, it starts getting quote-unquote serious. Based on that, we're going to start our Gemara, fifth line from the top of Ayin Beis, Amud Aleph, for who gave the Amalei the Chavrei. Person said to his chaver, "See this piece of land over here? I'm not in the mood, I'm not in the market to go and sell it. However, if and when I decide to sell it, I'm going to sell it to you." Meaning I'm going to give you the right of first refusal. Rashi said it wasn't just that he said it, but in fact they made a kinyan. Rashi, 7-8 lines from the top of the Amud. They made a kinyan. If and when I sell it, I offer it to you first. And guess what happens? Ozel zavnal in a shechrina. And he sold it to someone else. Doesn't say whether it was a day later or 5 years later. He sold it to somebody else. That's not nice. He gave the first person a right of first refusal. So now we're not talking here about midos tovos. We're talking about financial. Did he have a financial obligation? Yes or no? Omer of Yosef, kana kama. Since he had told the first person, right of first refusal, whatever he charged the second individual for the land, he has to sell it to the first person. After all, he made a commitment with a kinyan. What Rav Yosef says sounds very nice and equitable. Omer Abaya, no. V'halai pasak. There was no piece of damim. It's all great to go and say, yeah, if I'm going to sell this land, I'm going to sell it to you first. But who knows what the price is going to be? Maybe the first individual to whom he promised the sale was thinking, yeah, if it's going to cost $50,000, I'm more than happy to buy it. But it's going to be $500,000, forget about it. They never even talked price. Says Abaye, therefore, it is not binding. Had there been a right of first refusal given not only with a kinyan but also with a price, that would be a different story. But without saying a price, it's really meaningless. Uminot Taimra says Abaya, how do I know?
Wait, but we have a bar mitzvah concept which doesn't have a price.
Who says that it's a bar mitzvah here?
No, I'm saying, but in the case of a bar mitzvah, it wasn't a third party, it was a neighbor. And there's no price for the neighbor has a right of first refusal, even if no price is stated.
What you're saying is correct. And if he sells it on Shabbos, he's over on doing Masu Matan on Shabbos. Our Gemara is not talking about a bar mitzvah. It's talking about Yankel says to Beryl. Beryl lived 5 miles away in Brooklyn. He says, I know you want to buy a property here in Manhattan. I'll offer it to you first. No problem, we make a kinyan. Says Rav Yosef, that is binding. Says Abaya, as long as they don't talk an actual price, says gunish mit gunish, it's all just devorim ba'alma, nothing has happened. Says Abaye, how do I know that pisuk is the key? Tanan, our Mishnah, a person sells his wine to an akum, to a pagan, to a pasuk actually, if they agreed to a price, like $10 a gallon, even though he wasn't moided yet, even though they didn't agree to the quantity, whether it be 3 gallons, 5 gallons, 10 gallons, dom of mutarim, the Jew is allowed to take the money because he is selling to him regular, normal, kosher wine. no yayin nesach proper. However, modar actually pasak, if he allowed the akum to go and measure the amount of wine, by putting his hand in his arm in, by pouring, by pulling, whatever, he went and poured from one kli to the other to figure out exactly how much it was, but there was no agreement on price. What happens if they never agree on price? The goy says to the Jew, oh, of course, I'd love this wine, looks delicious, but I thought you were selling it for $5 a gallon. I hear now that you're selling it for $10. I'm not interested. Oh, now we got a problem. Yom of Asurin, then the money would be usur. In other words, if they ultimately finally do make a sale, why would the money be usur? Because since he did a medida, and medida, we said yesterday in the Gemara, we're assuming that that's a hagbo'ah, that he picked up the wine, poured it over. With that hagbo'ah, he was koinit. And the assumption is, Gemara said yesterday, and Rashi said, that right after he does the medida, he might stick his fingers in and start doing a shichshuch, which is halachically considered to be the equivalent of being menasech the wine, yayinesech. Ay, ay, ay. So by the time they come to the pisuk damim, to the gemiras das, what they agree we're going to go and sell, the wine is already treif. The wine is already yayinesech because he was moide, he did his mashicha, he put his fingers in, he did his negia, his nisuch. And now when the Jew receives the money, he's receiving the money for the sale of Yayin Nesach, Dom of Asurim. What do we see from our Mishnah? We see that one of the major elements in closing a deal is not just making a kinyan, but there has to be a piece of Domim where there is a Gemiras Das, where they both parties agree, this is the price. Until then, it's priceless. Ah, that being the case, Dr. Gemara, says Abaye to Rav Yosef, since when he ordered, the individual said to him, if I ever sell this property, you get the right of first refusal, but they never talked about what the price would be, therefore it's nothing, it's zero. L'choyre, Abaye has the upper hand, based on our Mishnah. Frey Timura, my havi Allah. No, so what's the psak halacha? Frey Timura, my havi Allah. We just, for the last 5 minutes, we just went through that Mishnah. The Mishnah L'choyre is directly on point. We're talking about the significance of Pisuk Domim. And that being the case, Frank Timor, so why are you even asking? Isn't it open and shut case that Abai is right and Rav Yosef is wrong and it's not binding whatsoever? And the second person would be Kona the property and not the first. The reason why Rav Yosef didn't agree immediately, and presumably the reason why he didn't follow this Mishnah, after all the Amiroim knew all the Mishnayis, how come he didn't automatically, even before Abaye, why didn't he go and say that without Pisuk Domim is nothing? Why did he say Konakama? It could be that since we're talking about Yayin Esach, and Yayin Esach is related, of course, to Avodah Zarah. Anything having to do with Avodah Zarah, the Chacham were very, very machmer and say, stay away. You never know. Could be Yayin Esach Shailas. So you have to have your Pisuk Domim. But maybe in a regular case of selling a piece of property, maybe this is not so essential. So therefore, that's why they want to ask, my Havi Allah, it's not a conclusive Raya from our Mishnah. So let's try to bring another conclusive Raya to Abaya, against Rav Yosef, the Omer of Idi Bar Avin. Uvda hava be Rav Chizze. There was a story in Rav Chizze's Besmedish. Rav Chizze be Rav Huna, upashte meha, and they were poishted this very shayla that you're asking, meha ditnan from the following Mishnah. Voshte to on the Mishnah. The Mishnah mesechtes bova basra. A person was buying tvua or peyrois from someone else, and the mocher had a delivery service. So he sent over his chamorim upoy alim, a chamar, here in this connection means the azel driver, that's the donkey driver, upoy alim and his workers, and they are about to come into the home of the lekeach, and the lekeach pulls the chamar and the poel, not against his will, he pulled him nicely, and he escorted him into his house, v'chnisim l'toich beisoy. So, the first thing we have to know, says Rashi, is no kinyan was created by p- p- pulling the chamar and the poil into his house. Because Mashiach does not work on people, says Rashi. And it doesn't even work on the peiros and tevua that these people may be carrying on their backs. So Mashiach over here was nothing. We're going to talk in a moment about the fact that we're now inside the chotzer, inside the home of the Likach. But in the meantime, Mashiach is nothing. So bein pasek actually moded, bein moded actually pasek lo ikana, ushneim yichoyin lachzeben. Even if there was a pisuk domim, that they both agreed to a price. And, or, not and, or, there was a pisuk domim, but there was no medida. Medida means there was no hagba'ah, no kinyan. Or, there was a kinyan, but there was no pisuk domim, the baal is gunish, loikana, and both of them can change their mind, shneim yochel lachzeben. However, Pirkan v'echnis l'teich beis, sorry. He didn't schlep in the chamar or the poil, but rather what he did was he removed those peiros from their backs and now brought it into his house. Oh, now by bringing it to his house, now we have that kinyan of chotzer. It's now in his property. So pasuk actually modad, if he had a pisuk domim, even though there was no medida, mashiach, in other words, even though we haven't counted up yet how many peiros, right? We've agreed pisuk, $5 a pound of potatoes, tomatoes, whatever it happens to be. But we didn't count out or measure yet or weigh yet how many pounds. Is he going to take 1 pound or 5 pounds or 20 pounds? So it was pasuk actually more than. Ain't shneim yechoyin lachzeben. Rabbi Yisai, since we brought it into the house and there's a pisuk domim, even if we haven't measured the quantity, done deal. Why? Because the pisuk is a gemiras das. Bringing into his house is a chotzer. So we have a combination of a kinyan with a gemiras das. Can't change your mind. But on the other hand, modar achaloi pasak, if we destined a medida without a pisuk domim, they're inside the house. We have potentially a kinyan chotzer. We have a medida that we now know he's taking 10 pounds of potatoes or tomatoes. But they haven't agreed to the price yet. So, says our Gemara L'Chayra, this is a convincing raya to Abaya that any time you want to make a kinyan and establish rights and financial obligations, it's not enough just to make the kinyan. It's not enough dibur ba'alma, but it has to be a gemiras das, and the gemiras das is effected through the pisuk domim, through discussing and agreeing to a price. Nu Gemara, ahu gav di yom lechavre, iz mazvinin lo lecha ara, mazvinin lecha b'mei ezuzi. Ooh, now we have a shtekul pisuk domim. Yanko says to Beryl, my good friend, if I decide to go and sell this property, this part is similar to the previous case that we began. If I'm going to sell this property, mazvin aloch, I give you the right of first refusal, and I'm going to sell it b'meya zuzi. For 100 zuz, I'll sell it to you. But at the moment, I have no intentions of selling it. And in fact, I might never sell it. I might want to leave it for my children, for a Yerusha. But bottom line is, if and when I decide to sell it, you get first dibs at 100. Oh, so now we have not only a dibur, mitakinyan, but a pisuk domim as well. Sometime thereafter, doesn't say whether it was a day or 5 years later, Ozel Zavalin Shachreni sold it to someone else, b'mei v'yasrim, for 120. Oh, Umar of Kahana, based on the prior Gemara, Rav Kahana said, I heard what Rav Yosef said, that Konakama. Abai was upset because Abai said, but there was no pisuk domim. Here there was a pisuk domim, so Konakama. Here, everybody should agree that the first person is koine at the price of meya zuzi. Maskel Rav Yaakov and Har Pekoit. Hai zuzi unsuhu. What does that mean? It could very well be that this person never intended to go and sell the property. And he told him, if I ever sell it, I'll sell it to you for 100. And guess what happens? Zuzi unsu. The financial matter pushed him. He was like under duress. Now, you could learn the Gemara Zuzi Ansu. That means that he was short of cash. Normally, he never would have sold this property. He would want to keep it as part of his capital. But unfortunately, he was under duress. for financial obligations. He had to go, he had to make chasana, he had to go and give tzedakah, he had to pay taxes, whatever it happens to be. Rashi says over here, Zuzian Tzu was the lokeach, the second individual that bought it for 120. By offering him 120, that forced the hand of the moicher. Meaning, the moicher really never intended to sell it. But he gave him an offer that he could not refuse, because it was just such a wonderful, tremendous offer. So you look at Rashi, Zuzi on Suhu. Rashi is about 10, 12 lines before the wide lines, about three quarters down the Omid. Zuzi on Suhu is a Rashi. The 120 forced his hand. Now, we don't mean literally. We're not talking about at gunpoint, at knife point. We just mean that when he smelled the 120, that aroma was so overwhelming that he couldn't resist. If he wouldn't have offered him 120, he'd say, "You nuts? I have no intention of selling. It was never on my agenda to sell this property. I received this property from my grandfather, and I hope to give it as a legacy to my grandchildren." Yeah, but we're not talking about 100. We're talking about 120. Oh, that's a different story. I didn't know you're talking about 120. The Ihu, when the mocher promised it to the first individual for the 100, imazvina lei b'shavya ka'amalei, he told the first potential lokeach, if I'm going to sell it at the market value of 100, then there's no reason why I should give it to anybody else. I might as well give it to you, because you're my friend, and I'm happy to give you the right of first refusal. But that's when we're talking about if the market is 100. This person was not selling it at 100. If, in fact, 5 years later he's selling it at that 100, Kona Kama, just like Rav Kahana said. However, because of the fact that this person gave him this overwhelming, beautiful, the big, beautiful bill, he gave him a big, beautiful offer of not 100, not 105, but 120, 20% more than the market rate. Nobody pays 120, since in Zuzian Tzu, it's sold to the second person, not to the first person. And therefore, what he's really saying is, it's changed circumstances. That original Gemiras Das was based, if it's going to be market value of 100, it's yours, my friend. You are the first in line. Right of first refusal. However, if it's going to be this type of amount, 120, this was never Ole Al Hadas. I never even contemplated this type of largesse. Get 120 for this 100. And presumably the first person also didn't expect to be offered at a price of 120. It's not worth 120. The market price is 100. Ilchasakar of Yankam and Harpakoid, that it sold to the second one and not to the first one after all.
In the second case, if a kinyan had been made, would that, at 100, would that have locked it in? Because in the first case, we said they made a kinyan. Mm-hmm. Gemara saying that in the second case. Does that change things?
That Gemara doesn't say and Rashi doesn't say. But it apparently, I withdraw. Rashi says, Kana kama doha pasak v'kanu minei. In fact, there was a kinyan at the price of 100. So based on the earlier Gemara, before we got to this Gemara, we would have thought that Rav Kahana is 100% right. There was a kinyan, there was a dibur, there was a pisuk damim. Everything lines up exactly like a buyer required. Says the Gemara, no. That's only under normal circumstances, where the price, the market price remains the same, and it's 100, 100, 100, 100. Of course, I give it to you first, you're my good friend, right of first refusal. However, if somebody comes from Australia with this crazy idea of 120, says Yomar, that's Zuzi on Tzu. This was totally unexpected. It was not on his radar screen, presumably not only on the Mochers, but even the Lekech's radar screen. They were talking about based on normal market price, but not based on this type of wonderful largesse.
What value is a Kenyan?
The value of the Kenyan is and was that if nobody came to him at 120, but the seller decided eventually I'm going to sell because I want to take the money and invest it in the market or something else, whatever reason why he wanted to have cash. And in fact, the only price out there is 100, 100, 100, goes to all the brokers, and everybody says the same, it's only worth 100. Then he has to go and sell it to the first one and not to anybody else.
So does he say Abaya?
Did you say Abaya or a Rava, right? Very good.
Shkoyach. Abaya or Rava, I sold it. I sold it.
Abaya, yeah, I got you. We're on to the fifth wide line. Amalei. Kedeshayimi bitlosa. What happens if two people don't make up a piece of gdomim, but rather they say, I'm selling it to you, and we are going to rely on the appraisal of three. Kedeshayimi, an appraisal bitlosa of three people. Says Igmar Filitrei mi goitlosa, even if you only have two out of the three. Now what does that mean? Rashi says that this person could have simply said, we're going to have a shuma. By saying a shuma of three, it means that he is suggesting we should have a bezdin to tell us what the appraised value is. I don't have to tell you that on any property, if you give it to different appraisers, they can come up with different amounts and different numbers. So let's go and take, he didn't say the word bezdin, but Rashi said by saying bitlasa, it's as if he said the word bezdin, I'd like to have a bezdin of three to decide. Okay, so says the Gemara, just like in any case you go to bezdin, it doesn't have to be unanimous, it can go and be two out of three, a majority. That being the case, achri rabim lahatos. That being the case, if when it comes to this appraisal, we have a disagreement among the three appraisers. Two of them say, twice $100. The other one says, $80. We're going to follow the two, even two out of the three. However, if he didn't say, Kiddushayim bitlasa, if he says, Kiddushayim bitlasa, then, says Rashi, that doesn't sound like a loshen of Dayanim and Bezin, but rather what he meant is, let's ask three appraisers, and we need the unanimous view of these three appraisers. They're going to have to work it out among themselves. We're not going to follow two out of three. It's got to be all three. What happens if instead he says, Kiri Amri Bitlasa, Adi Amri Bitlasa? Means all three have to agree to the price, to the appraised price, and not two out of three. Now what happens instead of saying Kirishaimi Bitlasa, he says Kirishaimi Ba'arbo'a, the Shuma of four people. Since we're no longer talking about Bati Dinim, there's no such thing as a Bezin of four. After all, Ein Bezin Shokel, if it happens to be an even number, it's worthless. That's not a Bezin. It's got to be a Bezin where you can have a majority that can...
Bezin of two is Chatzuf. A Bezin of two is Chatzuf.
That's two. Four is not Chatzuf. It's a nice big Bezin, but of course it's a Bezin Shokel. So that's a separate problem. Mitch, when we get back to Sanhedrin, we'll talk about that in greater detail. But in the meantime, since he specified I want four appraisers, even though he used the term Kiddushayimi, here I don't say like before Kiddushayimi Bitlasa, he means a Bezin of three or a Bezin of four, but rather Adi Amri Barba. The word Kiddushayimi is as if he said Adi Amri Barba, and therefore you have to have all four appraisers expressing their view and hopefully coming up with a unanimous opinion. The Kolshken Hechad the Amalek Amri Barba. Since we already said in the previous case that if he said three, two out of three is enough. But if he says Kid'amri Bitlasa, then you have to have all three. Since Achkolshkin in our case, where you're telling me that even Kiddushayimi you need all four, certainly when it says Kid'amri Barba, you need all four. Omalei, Kiddushayimi Bitlasa, V'osu Tlasa, V'shemua. What happens if the Moicher and the Likeach both agree, let's get a Shuma of three? And they got the Shuma of three. These three appraisers, the number that they quoted, you see that they are amateurs. Of course, it all depends whether you're the mocha or lokeach, but the mocha may say, come on, this property is worth much, much more. How can you possibly say such a ridiculous figure? I want to get three professionals from the American Appraisal Society, people that have been doing this for 50 years, or it could, of course, be the other way around, where the Lekech says, are you nuts? You're appraising this property for X? This is not worth more than Y. Why are you saying this? Let's get three other appraisers. So what's the din now? The first person that got the first bezin, not the first bezin, but the first three appraisers, he has the upper hand. Dino Ma'akev. He can go and say, no, we just agreed to have three. Who says that these three are no good and the other three will be better? Maybe these three are better than the other three. So he can say, no. Ad kan oim b'shabas segudo. We agreed to these three. Not necessarily these three, but we agreed to appraisal of three. And therefore we had appraisal of three, and that's the price. Maskur avuna bereder of Yeshua. Mimai dahani kimlu hutvei. Dimahani kimlu hutvei. How do you talking know that the first three appraisers, they are the experts? Maybe the second group are the experts. Bilchus Ravuna Breder of Yeshua, we follow the view of Ravuna Breder of Yeshua, that in fact the first group is not necessarily Koveya, and therefore, if he says, I want to hear the other three, we got to listen to the other three.
Well, Aimel Dover Sof, the first guy can now say, I'm bringing a different three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no end to this. If you're not going to let, if you say three, mm-hmm. and they're a valid three, what's the conclusion? How can you end this?
Presumably you only get one chance, one bite of the apple. So he brings one, and he brings one, and then they're going to have to try to figure it out. Okay, Zot Mishnah Vayta. We've had this halach of the Mishnah earlier on, a few blad ago, so some of this should sound familiar. What is this all about? You have a wine mocher, and we've agreed to the price, we've agreed to the quantity, everything is great, and now we are pouring off from the big barrels into the smaller bottles. I don't have to tell you that a big barrel has a wide opening. The small barrel has a small opening. So if you're going to go pour from one to the other, good chance that part of the wine is going to spill on the floor. So what do? You take a mashpech. Mashpech in English is a funnel. You all know what funnels look like. Big, wide opening at the top, and the end off with a small opening on the bottom. So if the wine merchant uses the same mashpech first for being modeid litzlechisoy shel oivik echavim into the kli of the pagan, of the goy, now he uses the same mashpech without washing it, without rinsing it, and for there for a while, maybe even have to do, you have to worry about havlum bliois, so maybe you'd have to go and do a full-fledged kashri. Anyway, Chazim Mada takes the Chisu Shal Yisrael. If it's, you're 100% right. What you're saying is correct. Normally, if it's only cold, you only have to wash it out or rinse it well, so you shouldn't have a problem. Could be that, however, if it was sitting there for a while, maybe there would be a problem of just the amount of time there would be bleoys. Anyway, we don't have to get into all the details. Bottom line is, he used the same funnel for both the non-Jewish owned jar or jug bottle, and now he uses the same funnel once again. Says the Mishnah, if there is an akevis yayin, what is akevis yayin? We already had the term akevis yesterday. Akevis means it had a lip. Yesterday we talked about a lip of a barrel or a jug, which was at the top of the barrel or jug. Here we're talking about that there is a lip at the bottom of the mashpech of the funnel. What difference does that make? Because that means that when he poured the wine from his kli into the tloichis of the oivir kechavim, a couple of drops are still present on the bottom of that lip at the bottom of the funnel. Those drops have the status of yayin nesach, and therefore, if I use that same funnel without washing it and rinsing it and doing a good job, then unfortunately the new wine that is being poured through that funnel into the Jewish owned kelim, unfortunately the new wine is going to merge with those couple of drops on the lip at the bottom of the funnel, and they're also going to become yayin nesach. The obvious question is, why do I say that the wine drops at the bottom of the funnel become Yayin Nesach in the first place. Just because I poured through this funnel into a kli that is owned by a Gentile, and that kli normally contains Yayin Nesach, what does it have to do with the funnel? The funnel didn't touch the Yayin Nesach. The funnel was just there as a medium to go and make sure you don't spill the wine on the floor. What's the problem? So the Gemara is going to, in Yad Hashem, go into that in some detail. New case in the Mishnah. Ha'ma'ar mikli el kli. When you're pouring from the upper kli to the bottom kli, who's doing the pouring? We'll see in Yad Hashem the Gemara. A goy was doing the pouring. And half of the contents is now in the lower kli. Half of the contents is now in the upper kli. Now, whatever spills into the bottom kli, we assume automatically is going to become Yayin Nesach. And the reason for that is because we assume that this, the kli kibble, the recipient kli, had at least a couple of drops residue of Yayin Nesach from before. So any new Yayin that comes in is going to merge Matzah Minis Minoi, and it's going to become Osir even the Mashu. But that's only in the new kli. But the kli up above, that remains kosher wine. So that's what it says. The wine that was poured from the upper kli, mutter, that remains mutter. The she'ira letoichai, however, the lower kli, in which the wine is now pouring, aser remain, is going to be aser. Again, we're going to talk about, in the Gemara, what's the difference between the upper and the lower. Stay tuned. So,
they're both kosher. I mean, it's all kosher wine initially.
The wine that we're talking about is initially kosher wine. The only problem is when it reaches into the goy's kli, there's always an assumption that there is a drop of residue of Yayin Nesach from before. So any new wine that comes into the new kli merges with those drops. Now I know everybody says, well, in the dinner bitl baroi, bitl b'shishim, here it's bin b'minoi, and it doesn't become bottle. We're going to talk about this at much greater extent in Yad Shem in tomorrow's Mishnah. If you want to take a quick look at the Mishnah of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, that's going to be Shabbos is Daf. You see it says, Yayin Nesach Osir, v'oyser b'kol shehu, Yayin b'yayin, u'mayin b'mayin b'kol shehu, Yain b'mayim, that's v'noisim tam. Zeh haklal. Min b'minoi, b'mashu. B'minoi is v'noisim tam. So our case, where the lower kli is a non-Jewish owned kli, in other words, a guy owns that kli, there's assumption that there is a residue of a couple drops of Yain Nesach. The new wine merges with that wine down below the residue, and therefore, what's the din? It all has a din of Yain Nesach. But only the wine in the bottom kli. Not the wine in the upper kli, because after all that, Tari. So, Brother Shai is asking, what about the klal of Nitzuk? And says Brother Barry, in fact, that is the Gemara which we're starting right now. Tanan Hossa. This is a Mishnah in Mesechtes Taharis. For all those that are saying to yourself, I thought it was a Seder Taharis. In Seder Taharis, there is a Mesechta called Taharis. So Taharis within Seder Taharis. Stanan also, what does it say in the Mishnah? Hanitzik v'akatafes v'mashki tefeyach enoi chibur loy letuma v'loy letaro v'eshboirin chibur letuma letahar. Nitzik, katafes, v'mashki tefeyach are all waters, or at least moisture, which are connecting two different things. And now the question is that considered to be a strong enough connection, chibur, for tumah and tahara purposes? Now, what is nitzik? What's katafis mashke tefeach? Nitzik, says Rashi, is like a waterfall. If you've ever been to Niagara, the water goes straight over the cliff, vertically down, goes straight down. Katafris is the same thing, but instead of being a waterfall that goes straight down over the side of a cliff, it's water that flows down the mountain at a slant, at an angle. So they're both halachically the same, just in terms of the description, slightly different physically. See if you look at the Rashi, fifth, sixth line of the wide lines. Hanitzik, kiluach, tsinor, haba melamala lamata, biskifa. Biskifa means straight down, vertical. Kimarzav shogagin. Think of, says Rashi, the gutters or leaders that come from the roof and go straight down, they don't come at an angle. They're parallel, those pipes are parallel to the house, and therefore go straight down b'skifa. That's nitzik. Katavra says Rashi, Maima boy milmal lamata, ulta from up downwards, but derech madroin. Madra means on an angle or slant. Sheltel geboy azokav, where you have a tall mountain, and there's a madroin. So, once again, the water's coming down. Mashke tefeach is referring to that, for instance, you have two water holes, one next to the other, and you have in between them moisture that connects them. However, this mashke is a mashke tefeach, the ein boy lehatfiach. What means tefeach v'loy lehatfiach? If you go, for instance, if you have a bottle that you took out of the refrigerator or the freezer, and especially if it's a hot day outside, you might see that the outside of the bottle is sweating. So if there's
condensation.
Sometimes the condensation and sweat is so considerable that when you take it with your hands, there's so much water on your hands that after that, you can go and put your hands on something else, on the table, on your hand, and from one hand to the other, and there's tefech, almanat latfech, so much condensation, so much sweat, that you can transfer some of that to something else. Sometimes it's just a drop of sweat, and therefore if you put it on, you're fine, but when you already want to go and put on the napkin or in your hand, there's nothing left, because it's so meaningless in terms of the quantity of that moisture. So tefech, almanat latfech, means that it's so moist that there's enough not only to give you water and you make your hands all wet, but that if you shake somebody else's hand, you're going to make his hand wet. If it's only tefeach shaloy al menas lahatfiach, then your hand is going to be moist, but you shake somebody else's hand, gunish mit gunish. Okay, so that's the case of mashke tefeach she'eino lihatfiach. In all three of these cases, eino chibur loy letumah v'loy letar. All three cases, it's not a chibur for purposes of tumah. Now, what does that mean, a chibur for tumah or for tahar? Okay. What happens if, again, you have these waters that are coming down from the top of the mountain, the top of the hill, and they are flowing down into a water hole down below, and that water hole down below holds mashkin, and those mashkin are mashkin temeyin. Now clearly, those waters down below are tamei. How did they become tamei? Because a dead sheretz touched them. By the way, we're not talking about that this is a natural spring or mayan or anything like that, because any water that's mechubel lekarka, just like the karka itself cannot become tamei, the water also wouldn't become tamei. So we're talking about this water hole is like in the form of in a swimming pool or whatever it happens to be. So if you have... what you're saying is absolutely correct. But that is talking about surface, talking about the dry land. Solka daita chamina, that maybe there's a difference when it comes to water, and the answer is no. Water happens to be, if it's a natural river, natural spring, whatever it is, which is connected to the land, boom, it's not mekabel tumah. However, if it happens to be in a pool-like situation, then guess what? Then it can be mekabel tumah. So what happens now? You have mashkin, Rashi said mashkin telushin hay. So now the bottom water became tamay because the mushal and the veila touched it, nebuchames, whatever it was. And now it becomes tamay. So all of the waters that are now spilling down from up above into those waters down below, I would think, oh, there's a connection cord connecting the two. That is the nitzik, the water that's coming down. Or when you have the mashke tefeach on surface land, maybe that's enough to cause that the other waters, the upper waters, should become tamei. No, ein a chibur l'tuma. What would be a chibur l'gabe tahara, for instance? What happens if you have, let's say, two water holes, one next to the other? One of them has 40 sa'ah of megishamim, and we know for a fact, therefore, that it is kosher for a mikveh. But there's another one which is right next to it, which only has 35 sa'ah of water. Enough to go in toivolin, but it doesn't have 40 sa'ah. So if the connection cord is mashke tefeach shaloi almanas lahadfiach, that is such a weak connection that the other water hole, which has it at the 35 saw, not kosher for a mikvah. On the other hand, what would happen if, for instance, was mashke tefeach almanas lahadfiach? The extension cord is so strong that you could even toivel in the other mikvah, which is not 40 saw, because it's considered to be like an adjunct to the major mikvah that does have 40 saw. So that's the halacha in the Mishnah in Taharis. Again, none of this halacha lemaisi, you have to look in the Rambam, but that's what it says in the Mishnah. These three ain't a chibbalei tumah latah. What happens if ishboiren? Ishboiren, says Rashi, means still waters that are there. Rashi says that the word ishboiren comes from the word shvira, that there was a cleft, a crack in the land, and water accumulated in that crack in the land. It's because, says Rashi, now that water that's not moving anywhere, that if it's connecting two water holes like we were just saying, then that would be a chibur l'tumu l'tah. Okay, what does it have to do with us? So now the Gemara is medayik. The Reisha says, ein chibur l'tumu l'tahara. Omer Avuna nitzik v'katafis u'mashke tefeh chibur l'inyan yayin nasach. Avad, you're right. Legabe tumu v'tahara, it's not a chibur. But legabe yayin nasach, it is a chibur. Which would mean that if I have wine up above,
it should be yayin nasach.
Not only the wine down below in the goy's owned kli, but even the Jew's owned kli at the top. If it's a nitzik, so then it's a connection that it should also become yayin nasach, and that's the Gemara's kasha, the kasha of Brother Shai, and that was what Brother Shai was thinking about when he asked about nitzik. As soon as we finished the Mishnah, Amalei Rav Nachman l'Ravuna. Let's go back. Omer Ravuna, nitzvah tafel the mashkes vech chibul inyanai nesach. Omer Ravnachman Ravuna, minolachaha. Where did you take this from? Ilaymerit nan. Maybe you're being medayik from that mishnah in Masechtas Taharos. Hanitzvah tafel the mashkes vech and chibul itumul tahara. If the tumul tahara who delayav a chibur hal inyanai nesach havi chibur. Ah, so you want to be medayik that inyanai nesach it is a chibur. Only gabi tumul tahara. Since Yayin Nesach is more chomor, like the Gemara said before, therefore it is a chibur. And that's why you're saying that Nitzuk is a chibur in Yayin Nesach. But aim a Seifa, let's go back to that same Mishnah. What does it say in the Seifa? Ho Ejboyrin is a chibur l'tumma v'l'tahara. It's mashma l'tumma tahara. Who da have a chibur? Ho l'in Yayin Nesach loy have a chibur. Oy, oy, oy. Only gabi tumma tahara, but not the gabi Yayin Nesach. And now you can make a kolshke, madach legabi and ishboyin, which is a chimul tumatar, but it's not a chibur for yayin esach. So nitzik and katafres and mashke tefech, which is not a chibur tumatar, is the chavad and avadi givist kolshke kalvachoyim ben benoishen kalvachoyim, that it's not going to be a chibur for yayin esach. So from the ratio we have a diuk that for yayin esach it is a chibur. From the Seifa, I have a diuk that it's not a chibur for Yayin Nesach. El miho lekel mashmina. From our Mishnah, that means the Mishnah Masechtas Taharis, no raya one way or the other. But let's go back to our Mishnah. Tanan. Notlis ha-mashbich u-madletzach tzachitza sholei v'chom v'chozim madletzach tzachitza sholei Yisrael. What did we say if there was on Tri Amid Beis? Em yesh v'yakev es Yayin. If there's some lip at the bottom, it's Osir. Freit the Gemara. Why is it Osir? After all, even if there is a great residue of wine on that lip on the bottom of the funnel, what difference does that make? That lip is holding kosher wine. This is a funnel that belongs to the Jewish merchant. He constantly pours out kosher wine through this funnel. So there's a residue. So there are a couple of drops. And initially he took that funnel and he used it for the non-kosher wine junk. Who cares? This wine remained in the funnel. If it remained in the funnel, it should be kosher wine. Why do you say it's Yayin Nesach? Muzduch zayin b'mayka mitzra la benitzuk. That even though this wine never saw the bottom of the kli, it stayed in the funnel. But it was part of that stream, part of that nitzik that went from up down to bottom. Shema mina l'chayr, I see from this that the wine inside the funnel, why and how did it become yayin nesach? Based on nitzik. Is a charai shema mina nitzik chibur legabe hilchis yayin nesach. Oh, so l'chayr you have a befeish sharai like Rav Huna. The Rav Huna said the nitzik katafris, etc., is chibur the inyan yayin nesach.
We have another quality. We said yayin nesach is tomei. Avodazara is tomei. Yayin nesach is tomei.
100%.
So inyan tumei tahara, and it should be the inyan tumei tahara is chibur. It's already. It's kind of like.
Yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying, but the Gemara is assuming since the Mishnah Maseches Taharis only talks about tumei tahara, not talking about yayin nesach. We don't mean the tumah that relates to yayin nesach because that's a derivative. First it becomes yayin nesach, and then, oh, since it's yayin nesach, it has a din of tumah. But first it has to be yayin nesach. How come the Mishnah, the Maseches Taharis, only talks about tumah v'tahara and not yayin nesach? It'd be like ikachosim and a seif, we're talking about the derivative without talking about the origin of that tumah. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's why the Gemara was medayik only tumah v'tahara and not the case of Yai Nesach. But our Mishnah is talking about Yai Nesach, we're not talking about Tumah Tahara. And therefore, says the Gemara, why would the wine in the bottom of the funnel be Asur? It never touched the Kli down below. Is the Chalarai L'choin and Nitzik is Chibur. Says the Gemara, Nishkaraya. Why is it not a Raya? Tani Reb Chia, Shepachsasoi Tzloichis. What does that mean? Well, it's like Chisai. What does that mean? It means that when you put the funnel into the bottle, guess what happens? The wine at the bottom of the bottom barrel or jug keeps on accumulating. It goes higher and higher and higher. And it gets eventually up to the top of the kli, and then you remove the funnel. Ay, ay, ay. So what happens now is there's yayin nesach, contaminated yayin, inside the funnel. Because it's not because of nitzik. It's because the wine that touched the bottom of the barrel became yayin nesach because of the residue, matzah minis minoy, it all became yayin nesach. And that yayin nesach now keeps on accumulating, going higher and higher, and flows back up into the tunnel. It doesn't even have to flow back into the tunnel, but the point is, when I say tunnel, I mean funnel. But the point is that the wine inside the funnel is now united and merged with the wine down below, because the wine down below is now up above, it's gone higher and higher. Oh, so when you take the funnel out, and there's a residue at the bottom, that residue is residue of yayin nesach. You have no raya legabe nitzuk. Frank Tigmara, if that's how Reb Chiya is learning, what would happen if it would not be pachsos etzlichusai? Apparently, Reb Chiya is learning in the Brice and explaining our Mishnah that in fact it would not be yayin nesach. So ibazoi, tipshit, let's go and be poishit and nitzik enechibur. That since Reb Chiya could only find the case with pachsos etzlichusai that the wine gradually went up into the funnel or connected with the funnel, that being the case, why didn't he say even if it wasn't pachsos etzlichusai, just based on the fact that it's in the ear space of the non-kosher kli and out's nitzik? So lechoy be poishit and nitzik ain't a chibur. Zubullah, you have no right. Pachsos itzlichisai tipshit lach. The aser nitzik tiboy. Reb Chiya himself was in doubt about the halacha of nitzik legabi yayin nesach. Yes, no, maybe so. One thing is clear: if pachsos itzlichisai that the chavad you have a yayin nesach problem. If you have only nitzik, efshenisht, you can't bring a raya from the brice of Reb Chiya. Toshima, let's bring another raya from our Mishnah, ma'armi kli l'kli. Eshma'armi menu mutter, the upper kli, all of the wine that is flowing down into the lower kli, upper kli remains mutter, not yayin esach. Freitimora is medayik, hada beini beini is asr. It sounds like, therefore, that the stream that's coming down from the first kli into the bottom kli. Remember, our Mishnah only talks about wine in the upper kli and wine in the bottom kli. Wine in the upper kli is mutter, wine in the bottom kli is aser. What about that stream called nitzik in between? So you're telling me, you know, what difference does it make? That stream in between is going to land up in the bottom kli. Not necessarily. What happens if you have a wise guy or whatever who brings his cup, and he enters his cup to go and catch some of the wine that is streaming down below. So if you hold Nitzik as a chibur, he's drinking Yayin Esach. If you hold Nitzik is not a chibur, since this wine didn't land yet into the lower kli, if I grab it with a cup, I'd be able to drink from it. It wouldn't be Yayin Esach. So that's what the Gemara is now being medayik. Since our Mishnah says, Eshem Armi Menu, the upper kli is mutter, Hadabeni Beni Asa. That means that the wine in between, don't even think about drinking, because you'll be drinking Yayin Esach. Shema Minot Nitzik Chibur. Frank Gemara, if you're telling me that Nitzik is Taka Chibur, and that's why the Beni Beni wine is Asur, Zafila de Gavei de Mananami Litzer. You know, once it's Nitzik, this extension cord of the stream of wine goes all the way up to the top Kli. Why don't you say that the wine inside the Kli is also Asur? Why only the Beni Beni Kli? See, Gemara says, if you will, a little bit of a Toichik Pshat. Holikasha de Kamaktiv Ketufi. What means Maktiv Ketufi? When he's pouring from the upper Kli down to the lower Kli, it's not an unending stream, but rather he goes and pours it in something or other. In first, the equivalent of one cup stops, another cup stops, another cup stops. So therefore, each time it's not an unending flow, unending stream. There are always periods of peace and tranquility. There is a...
It's intermittent.
Okay. He pours it in stages.
It's not a steady stream.
Not a steady stream. That's the Iker is not a steady stream. That being the case, never did you have a situation where the wine that was on top was united through this nitzik when the bottom wine hit down below. The down below wine was connected to the stream, because after all, the Beini Beini stream eventually landed into the keli down below, so nitzik havachibur. However, the top wine, even if you own nitzik havachibur, since there were periods of space in between, different stages between the... What did our good friend Reb Shlomo say? Since it was intermittent pouring, so there was always a pause every 3 seconds, so therefore the top wine was never extended, wasn't a strong...
It was cut off.
Oh, even another good term. I'm sure all of you can think of other synonyms, but the point is that since it was a break in the action in terms of the flow of the wine, so the upper wine and the lower wine in the kli down below were never connected. The upper wine was connected to the beini. The beini was connected to the lower wine. However, since it was a cutoff, it was intermittent, there were periods in between, so therefore, the upper wine did not become part of this chibur and remains kosher wine. Zoktimor mikol mokem upa lamaisa, after everything is said and done, I see nitzik as a chibur. Where do I see it? From the reisha where it says, the kli remains kosher wine. I was medayik, the beini beini is asur. So I see that nitzik as a chibur. Why would the beini beini be asur? Freitimor v'latamach. Eim a seifa, let's see the seifa in the Mishnah. Eshe'ir l'toicha, that's the wine down below. Who the asur? And it says that wine down below is asur because it touches the Yayin Nesach residue at the bottom of the kli. Ha de beini beini, but the wine in between the two kelim is shari. So therefore I have a diuk from the reisha that the beini beini wine is asur. I have a diuk from the seifa, the beini beini wine is mutter. So I don't have a conclusive raya one way or the other. But toshima, let's try to bring another raya. Hamarim chavius lebar. This is a brisa, a person is pouring from a chavius, from a barrel, into the bar. We've had bar numerous times. That is that large container in the winery with the wine press, where all the wine, the juice, flows down from the gas up above into the bar down below. So you got tons of wine down below, all of which is kosher wine. And now you're pouring from the chavius into the bar. That kiluach, that leaves the chavyas and falls into the bar becomes asur. Now, what is the situation over here? So the Gemara is assuming initially that who's being ma'ara mikli l'kli, that it was a Jew that's going and pouring down to down below. So what's the inyan over here? Must be l'chayra that the bar wine is yayin nesach, and therefore when you're pouring now from the chavis into the bar, so that wine that left, that's yoyin mitzvahs chavis lamata, is asr. So why is it asr? If it didn't reach the bar yet, it's just flowing from the svas chavis lamata, why is it asr? So the chayra reason must be because of nitzik. So then nitzik is a chibur. So I can be poshet my shayla. Zokti mor nishkaraya. Tirgi mor avshesh is not talking about it, that a Jew is pouring. It's bo'evi kechavim ma'ara. A goy is pouring from the upper chavis into the bar. To asi mi koichoy. It's coming because of the koyich of the oivi kechavim. Even though the goy didn't touch the wine itself, he's only touching the chavis. Since the pour out from the top one to the bottom one is mikoichai, the Chachamim said that also has the same halachic status as nitzuk. Frank Timur, if that's the case, why are you only looking at the wine that is already poured out from the upper chavis? What about the wine inside the chavis itself? Because after all, he's holding that barrel, he's pouring it out. So don't just talk about the wine that is already poured out, but talk about the reservoir of wine in the upper kli from which he is doing the pouring. He's picking it up and he's doing the koichoy metalis, so that should also be aser. Manishtana. Everything more koich levi kachom mit rabbanu. Who the aser? Who the nafi gavroi? Gazbe rabban. Hatul gavroi le gazbe rabban. The whole din of koichoy is not classic nisuch. Classic nisuch is if you actually pour it on a libation on top of an altar. And or, like we've had numerous times, that he puts his hands in and his fingers in and he starts shikshuk, he starts going and mixing it around. That's what we would call a case of nisuch. However, here we're talking about that it's koichai. The guy didn't touch the wine whatsoever. It's just flowing from one kli to the other because of his koyach. Of Temzokti Yimara, since it's Rabbanon, they were only geyser on the actual flow that flowed from up to down, as opposed to anything which was in the upper barrel, were not geyser on that. Nushtikal, Amalur of Chizalah, no Svisa. We have this.
According to this, we're saying that if it's real Yayin Nesah, then there is Nesah.
If it's already Yayin Nesach from before, you don't have to be Menasach. It already has.
No. If you have the wine, you have Yayin Nesach in the bottom cup.
Right.
And I pour kosher wine into it.
Correct. A bottle of wine into a cup of Yayin Nesach.
The word kosher. So that word is real. The mashmos is that this is only, we're saying it's Darabanan. But there's nitzuk for daraisa.
Okay,
right,
close
to darbanon. But if there's daraisa,
we're talking that case. It's a different case here.
Right, that's what I'm saying. The mashmos here is that it's only.
I'll tell you, if it's a cup of yayin nesach, don't drink it. Don't make a buck on it. Don't drink it.
You'll probably get a terrible stomachache from drinking yayin nesach. If there's real yayin nesach in the bottom kli, as soon as the upper wine touches that wine, clearly it becomes Yayin Nesach, because min b'minoy is b'mashu, it has a status Yayin Nesach.
The bottle of kosher wine is pouring into the Yayin Nesach barrel.
Correct.
Only the stuff on the bottom, as we said, was the mission. That's a bad mission.
That's for sure. But now the baini, any wine that has not touched the bottom of the barrel, but is just midstream, that's the Baini case, and that depends whether your whole nitzik is a chibur for Yayin Nesach purposes or not. Clearly, for regular Tumah V'Tahara, we said nitzik ain't a chibur Tumah V'Tahara. Question is, what about Yayin Nesach? Yayin Nesach is more chomer, maybe it would be a connection. Anyway, we're not finished yet, Rabbi Sai. Amalu Rav Chizla Hanoi Svisa. We had Svisa already yesterday. Then we talked about a lady, Misubisa, and you remember that Rashi says that the lady Mitsubisa was a lady that owned a wine store and was selling wine. And the word Mitsubisa comes from the Lushin by the Ben Tzoyra Moira, Zoylel V'soyve. Soyve is a person that likes to drink wine. So the Savisa people that like to sell wine. So Rav Chizd instructed the Savisa, these don't have to be ladies, be menfolk who are selling wine. Ki kailisu chamal adichav. When you are pouring wine, you have non-Jewish customers, and they are bringing in their kelim. And now you are pouring from your kli into their kli. Ay, 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 there might be a nitzik problem. Maybe all the wine in the upper kli in my kli is going to become yayin esach. What you should do is katfi ketufi. Inami nafsi nefutsi. Katfi ketufi we had above. That katfi ketufi means don't pour it in one unending stream, but rather
go
do it in spurts. Oh, that was the word. That was a perfect word for before. So we don't have to say into. Oh, it's a beautiful term. So he did it in spurts. So there were intermittent breaks in the action, cutoffs in the action, because he poured in spurts. So as a result, then the upper wine in the Jewish kli is not going to become Tiyayin Nesach as a result of the Nitzik. Even if you hold Nitzik, have a Chibur. Do it in spurts. And make sure that there's never one time of a flowing stream without a break from upper to down below. So that's Katvi Ketuf.
This makes perfect sense anyway. When anyone pours into a funnel from one clay into another, you do it in an interrupted motion.
Otherwise, it doesn't
just spill. You can't control it as well. Especially if it's a heavy clay you're using.
Very good. And particularly if there's a large volume coming in, if you don't stop, it's going to overflow very quickly.
It'll overflow and more likely, mix the wine and,
So you're saying this is very practical and sensible, not
very
only...
Practical.
Very good.
Practical.
Very good. Inami, or another teretz, which is basically the same, naftsi nefutsi. Actually, naftsi nefutsi is, the katfi ketufi means that he is standing with the barrel over the smaller bottle and pouring slightly. The nafti defutsi means that he is throwing the wine from afar. And when you throw wine from afar, from obviously you're not throwing it with your hands, but when you're throwing it from the barrel, think of zrika on the mizbeach, which was not done with your hands, but was done from a kli. You took the kli, which you had the dam in it, and you gave it a shot against the side of the Mizbeach. We're going to learn about that shortly, Mitch, when we get to Zvachim. Oh, here too, he's shooting the wine from one kli into the other, and so therefore, by definition, there's going to be in spurts. When you throw the wine from kli to kli, it's not going to all go in one shot. It's going to be some residue, and you're going to have to shoot the rest the second or third time. So you see Rashi Nafsi Nefutsi about 10 lines before the wide lines. Yam de meirochek, you can stand a little bit from afar. The yizriku hayayin lekelev shalei v'kachavim, kehechlele to have a nitzik, so you don't have a nitzik situation. Well, both terutzim are basically the same, that he's pouring or throwing in spurts. Right, omlu rava, lano shfuchoi. Again, those people that are pouring wine from kli to kli, they got the title shfuchoi, the pourers. They poured from kli to kli. Kishav chusev. Chamra, when you're pouring wine, like the be careful, you Jewish merchants, if you have Goyisha employees that work for you, don't let them help you hold the barrel. Even though you're doing 95% of the work, he's only helping you tilt the upper barrel. Don't let him do it. Why? So you're going to forget that this is a problem of Yaya Nesach. And you're going to go and say, hey Johnny, I have to go back to the counter, I have new customers, they have to go and let them pay for their goods, etc. Don't allow the goy to help you when you're pouring. You're going to forget, you're going to leave your pouring position and leave the whole thing for the goy. We just said before, the chum were goyzer on koychai just like nisuch, and then the wine up above in the upper kli is going to become us. Oh, here we're talking about what we call in modern day English siphoning. You're siphoning the wine from one bottle into another, or one bar into another. Now, for those of you that don't know exactly what siphoning means, it means like a long, long pipe or straw, which is in U-shaped. Some of the newer Gemaras have, in fact, a diagram on the side, a V-shape. And what do you do? What you have to do is suck from one side the wine. Once it starts flowing, it's going to continue flowing and empty one kli into the other kli. So this was a person that put the Asik Chamra. He developed this type of siphon. Ubigishtu Baskishta, that's the name of the siphon, that you connected, Rashi says, two straws or two reeds together, and then you started sucking on it, and all of a sudden the wine starts coming up. You release it, and the wine now goes through the other side. Anyway, what did he do? A goy came by, Anach Yodi Agishta, and he touched the wine on one side, not on both sides, just on one side. Asrei Rava Lekuli Yachamra. Rava says, okay, now everything is awesome. Now this sounds like a Nitzuk situation, right? That because the whole thing was connected from one end to the other, he touched only one side, not both sides. Boom! Whole thing is awesome. In both Kalim down below. Amr Rapapla Rava, the Amr of Adamar Masla Rava, the Amr of Inul Rava, the Mai Benitzik. Are you asking that it's also Al Tiyai Nesef because you hold that Nitzik is a Chibur Bayai Nesef? Shamus, we know we can finally be poishet the shaila that's been bothering us for the last half hour. Is nitzik chibur or not? If you acid the wine, obviously whole nitzik is a chibur. This is more than just a nitzik. The two wines are so well connected that if you leave the room and come back an hour later, miraculously, one of the boirois is now totally empty. And the other one is totally full. How did that happen? Miracle of miracles. The siphoning works that way, that it draws all the wine from one to the other. So therefore, the Gemara considers this to be a much stronger form of nitzik. Nitzik, when you have waterfalls, wine or waterfalls from up down to below, then there could be intermittent pourings and flowings. It comes in spurts. It gets cut off. Yeah. But if it's a siphon, it is ever flowing, and therefore this type of situation is much stronger than your regular nitzik situation. And finally, the Gemara brings another case about Kanishkinin, not related in any way to Kanishis. Omar Zutra Berei Derav Nachman. Kanishkinin is Shari. Now, what means Kanishkinin? Kanishkinin means that you have a very large, today we would call it a punch bowl. We have a large bowl full of punch. And then people take a ladle and they draw out some of the punch and they put it into their cups, etc. See, here you had a large wine bowl, but instead of taking the wine and pouring it in the form of using a ladle, what they had was a whole bunch of straws on the sides of this kanishkinin. And it sounds like the straws were built into the bowl itself. The bowl was manufactured in such a way that it was a kli kibble to receive punch, water, wine, and it also had straws coming out. Straws presumably were made from the same material as the kli itself. And the benefit of this is that if you have good friends, they can drink from the wine simultaneously from the kanishkinin without pouring it into their cups. Okay, so if you have two Jews that are drinking from the kanishkinin, no problem. But what happens if you have a Jew and a Goy? So what's the problem then? As long as they are sucking the wine from down below upwards, no problem. The problem only is, what happens if they stop drinking? When they stop drinking, wine that touched the lips of the drinkers now flows down. Oy, yoy, yoy. Some of that wine touched the lips of the Goy. And now when that wine comes down, the assumption is that the negia of the goy with his lips, that is a form of negia, like any type of yayin that you're negia with your hands, now you're negia with your lips. If you remember, we had the same concept a few blot ago with the agardamin. The agardamin was the worker that worked for the government for the Fair Weights and Prices Bureau, and that individual, he would go and draw up the wine either by using a straw or by pouring a little bit off and drinking from the chavis. So the concern was that whatever he touched might go back into the wine barrel, especially in the case of the drawing up with the straw. When he stops drinking, boom, the wine goes down again, and that could cause it to be Yayin Nesach. We had a shayla in the Gemara, since his intent was not for Yayin Nesach, it was to go and see, to feel the quality of the wine for purposes of fair prices. And the Gemara said, nevertheless, it is Osir B'Shti, and it was a shayla gabi with it's also Osir B'Hano'a or not. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so says the Gemara that Kanishkin and Shari, you can drink wine simultaneously, concurrently with a goy. However, make sure that you stop drinking first, because of that wine that's going to flow down back into the Kanishkinin, and it's going to cause all of the wine now to become Yayin Nesach. But as long as you, the Jew, was the first one to stop, then that initial wine consumption was fine. But once the goy stops, don't take any more wine. All the wine now has a status of Yayin Nesach. So now the
Gemara... This reminds me of that device you see. I don't know what it's called, but you pour wine... When you have Shabbos guests, and you pour wine in on the top, and you have little cups all around the tubes to come out and give all your guests wine.
Yeah. A fountain.
Like a fountain, right.
Yeah, like a fountain, yeah.
Yeah. But there you're not drinking from the fountain. You're drinking from the cups that resulted from the wine in the fountain. You're right, in a sense,
it's a parallel. It's into all the cups at once.
It goes into all the cups, that's right. So now, if one of the cups is offered to the Ovid Kachavim, and he drinks from it, then obviously don't drink from that cup. But that doesn't affect any of the other cups, because no guy touched any of those wines, etc. Anyway, getting back to Agmaris, the Gemara tells us a story. Rabbi Ravuna, Ikla lebei Reish Kalusi, came to Reish Kalusa, Shara lehu, and they were matter lemishta beknishkinin. They were matter, yes. Rabbi Bar Avuna was matir to drink from Kanishkinin, presumably with another goy. Ikri Ami Odin say Rabbi Avuna gufei ishti beKanishkinin. He himself drank from Kanishkinin, even though lechoyra there was a goy drinking. But this obvious question: once you're going to be matir people to go and drink from Kanishkinin together with a goy, at some point the goy is going to stop drinking, and from that point on, all of the wine left in the Kanishkinin is going to become Asur. How was Rabbi Bar Avuna matir? Shouldn't you be noivis? And Rabbi Bar Avuna himself, come on, shouldn't you be a machmer over here? You agree that if a goy is drinking, as soon as he stops drinking, which might be after 5 seconds, 10 seconds, you got a problem. So how can...
Well, they stop drinking too much. They continue drinking and drinking and drinking.
Okay, maybe he's drinking in spurts. But if you look at the top toises, Rabbi Yisai, very important for our Gemara. Teima, heicho yeshoiz mekanishkinin. Nehidaloi havechibur, fine. One, they're all still drinking, it's fine. No problem. Shouldn't he be noivis? That when he wants to, the Jew, Rabbi Ravuna, wants to stop drinking, maybe half a second before that, the goy stopped drinking, and everything became Yayin Nesach. And that final last second, he's drinking Yayin Nesach. Shouldn't have been noivous about it. This final case is not talking about a Jew and a goy. No problem. All five Jews can drink from five straws all at once, and you're wondering to yourself, what's the chiddush? Of course, if all Jews are drinking from the same kanishkinin, what? Oh, yeshloimar, the kamashmul and deloy, mitzvah bizman hazeh misham simcha. Lafuki miman di osam msech the Shabbos, lishkoi split kanishkinin bizman hazeh, pamberik, lameh isha. There in the Gemara it says that ever since the Chorim Beis Hamikdash, the Chachamim made various gezeiros to tamper the simcha that we have, even at chasanis, even at bar mitzvahs, at simcha yishal mitzvah, because of the overwhelming tragedy of the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. And according to one man, the Omar, you're not allowed to use kanishkinin. Now you're thinking to yourself, what's the big deal? Try it out. Buy one of these kanishkinin with straws. Drink together with the other family members. You'll see how everybody is smiling at the same time. Ah, we're all drinking together. It becomes such a festive drink. Everybody is drinking it up. L'chaim, we're drinking it up. So you're not allowed to use that, according to one man, the Omar. Rabbi Ravuna says, no, as long as it's Jews and you don't have a Yayin Nesach issue, this is not that Wow, wow, Simcha, and you're allowed to do it even post Chorban Beis Hamikdash.
So is Nistach Chibur or not?
We have to be poshik. We're not poshik.
Is it Yain Nistach or is it Yain Nistach? What is it?
Yain Nistach. What the Gemara is paskening at the end, according to Rabbi Ravuna, without choices, just learning Poshet Gemara, he's saying is that we're not. It's not a nitzik issue because nobody's pouring from up down below. The issue over here by the Kanishkinin is the fact that the residue
the lips of the guy and then it falls back in,
and then the whole thing matzaminis mino, and that's the next mishnah. If it's min b'mino, it's b'mashu. So one drop from the lips falls in, the whole thing becomes possible. That's Yayin Esach. Says our Gemara, says Toysis, Rabbi Ravuna would never have been mad to that because obviously at some point somebody's going to stop drinking and it's all going to become Yayin Esach. Don't allow a guy to drink together with you. He himself should allow it. Not to be believed. Says Toysis, not. With the guy, of course it's awesome. Not out in the tzik because of the residue from the lips and all the rest. The heter they was mad to it, Svish and Svayidin. After Chorm Beis HaMikdash, Sol Kedai Techamina, that would be Yasser, that's too much Simcha. No, the Mincha is not so overwhelming, and it's...